Glory to God, Hosanna in the highest.
To be here again, it really is. We love your pastor and Viv, boy, just sweet people. And I know there's going to be plenty of time to celebrate them in the months ahead as God leads in terms of the timing of a new pastor. But I want to make sure I jump in early on that, and Lord willing, we'll be back again before that. And the fruit of the ministry that you all have had together and as leaders and servants that you've been, we celebrate Jeff and Vivian and love them. They're friends. I pastored in our district for 8 years before taking on this role, and so we would hang out at many pastors and wives retreat. And I think Vivian, didn't you beat us all in golf that one time, the crazy golf? Robin did. Now, careful, we won't get an invitation to lunch. I'm sorry for that. That was just too good of a setup. Has anyone invited you yet? They didn't know we were available, so I feel like there's a lot riding on this sermon today. And I like chili, that's good, but we'd love to join you if you've got plans and you feel, sorry for us. But my wife and I are a couple of Georgia kids. Been here for, we haven't been here a couple of years, and have met several of you who are new in the last weeks and months and years. And so let me give you a brief introduction to who we are. A couple of Georgia kids who grew up knowing and loving the Lord at different ages, met at a local junior college, and where I sensed God's calling for ministry. Went to Columbia Bible College. I think you are familiar with one half of that school there. And in South Carolina, and there was invited to come up and candidate to be an assistant pastor in Brooklyn, New York. So that was quite a life change for us, as a couple of suburban Southern kids ended up being in intense urban Brooklyn, New York. And we just actually fell in love with it there, and just the international feel of it, and just had a good time of ministry there. That was our introduction to the Evangelical Free Church, which this church is a part of, as well as part of being one of our 17 districts, the Allegheny District, which I'm the superintendent of. Jeff actually serves on our Credentials and Constitution Board, and he's a valuable asset to us in helping guys get ready for licensing or ordination, and we appreciate his work, good work with that. From Brooklyn, we then went to seminary at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in the Chicago area. Our five kids were born as we lived there in Chicagoland. I pastored there, did a church plant, and then a student there, pastored a church plant, and then pastored a church there for 11 years in the Waukegan Great Lakes, speaking of our Navy friends here, near the Great Lakes Naval Base over west of there a little bit. From there, we moved back to the south of Brooklyn, Kingsport, Tennessee. We're there for 11 years, and in Appalachia there, if you're Bristol Motor Speedway fan, we were just a little bit over from there, and then moved to Pittsburgh 12 years ago now, and served as a church just beyond northeast of Pittsburgh there for 8 years. And when this role became available, since the Lord saying, hey, put your hat in the ring, and they didn't crumple it up too hard and throw it back at me, so here we are. And just thankful to serve. It is so fun to serve in our district. You're our only Maryland church. You're that Maryland triangle panhandle to the far west, and we have churches that go all the way from the Ohio State to the Penn State. That always helps the guys locate where we are there. From Columbus to State College, Pennsylvania, up into Buffalo, New York area, and over to Rochester, New York, and just above Syracuse, we have a couple of churches there. Just a great variety of churches, urban, rural, monolithic kind of looking churches, because that's who their community are, and diverse churches. We have a small African-American storefront church that's in Beaver Falls doing well. They've survived the pandemic with a really small congregation of a lot of older people, but they are very engaged in their community, serving God. The pastor's wife mentored a young girl who now has a PhD and is also the first African-American mayor of Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, and she loves Jesus, and she wants to bring people together. She's bringing integrity to a town that's needed a leader like that. We were just there 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, and a delightful time with Kevin and Vicki Lee. I love the variety of our district. It's really, I forget, when I come back down here, a couple of Georgia kids, it's interesting to come here and go, oh, we do have a church with a Southern accent. Let me apologize. We have churches that sound like some Yankees, but you guys talk normal is what I meant to say. Can I get an oh me? So it really is a delightful reminder to say the breadth, the depth of our ministry. The thing that binds us together is not the Evangelical Free Church of America. It certainly is not me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you guys reflect a love of the gospel. It's evident in this church. You love God. You love His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're thankful for that He died for you and was raised from the dead. He's coming back someday. You love His Word. It's very evident. And yesterday was such a delight. 161 women from like 30 churches and 30 people who had no church affiliation listed. And just the amount of people who were here. Peter and I came a little bit later, and we had a hard time finding a parking spot. How cool was that? So we delight in your church. You're a healthy body of Christ. I was telling the Sunday school class that this morning. And it's just evident. You guys, are you perfect at your church? You're not perfect. But Jesus is perfecting you, and it's neat the maturity that you have. Maintain that. Don't allow any kind of stuff, particularly in a search time. Don't allow the enemy to cause division. God's going to do something new and different. You'll never be able to replace these two. It's not your job to replace these two, right? It's to honor them and to see who God has next for you, and to walk together, continuing to minister to the Lord in this community like you do so well. And so we thank God for that. Let me read our passage together this morning, and it's embarrassingly simple text. Hey, hot tip. I begged Jeff, and he was very kind to help me out here. In your bulletin, on the very back page, you have a copy of my notes. That'll help you when I get lost. You can say, I think this is where you are. My wife needs a day off. She's always having a track with me. So if you need a copy of my notes there to kind of figure out where I am, that may help. There's also some extra study material in there, references you can look up later. Maybe that'll help you follow this guy as he jumps around here and there. Speaking of jumping around, that was called a segue sentence, jumping up and down. I heard that. I was walking in, heard someone playing, jumping up and down, jumping up and down, jumping up and down, sing hope. Hosanna? Okay, five of us know that. That was beautiful, wasn't it? And we're going to pray in a minute, and it sounds like it might be needed. And it is indeed always needed. It's Palm Sunday. We're beginning Holy Week. What a neat time. Jeff, thank you for the honor of giving you a Sunday off. And boy, we are in a week that is as significant as we can begin to imagine. And we're looking at a verse that's in the middle of this story that's kind of embarrassingly simple, but yet it's not. We're right in the middle of Matthew's telling of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. It's Palm Sunday. And so there we read in verse 6, and I'm going to read it to you in a variety of translations. I'm going to read verse 6 for you right now, then we'll read the whole passage. But verse 6 says, the disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. Listen to that. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. That's pretty straightforward stuff, isn't it? It's not just filler. It's not some literary device to move the story along, though. This simply profound verse could be your life verse, couldn't it? Isn't this a description of what we are to be about as disciples? This is not incidental, it's monumental. Jesus gives the order, we go and do. Amen? So what a wonderful basic, bottom line, bare-boned life mission statement. And so here's the questions we'll look at this morning. Does this describe our discipleship? The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. Well, let's pray. We'll get it in context here, and we'll look at some truth here. Listen, Matthew 21. I'm reading from the ESV. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says to you, says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, humble, mounted on a donkey, on a colt, foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and the crowds that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when they had entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Let's pray and ask God to be kind, to use his word, and even me to teach us what it means to be a disciple that go and does whatever he tells us to do. Lord, thank you for the pleasure and honor to be with this subset of your people, the family together, gathered in the name of Jesus. And we thank you as we start Holy Week that we can remember your triumphal entry this Palm Sunday. Would you be pleased in this passage and just through me to show us more of your greatness, your regal nature, and the honor that we have to serve you, that our lives could help prepare for your coming into people's lives, that they too may cry out, "Hosanna, Son of David." So Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord. You are our rock and you are our Redeemer. We ask this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, Amen. Let's be really, really clear that verse 6 and the disciples are not the point of the story, which is a weird thing to announce when I tell you that verse 6 is our main verse this morning. But we want to keep it in context. Verse 6 is a legitimate thing to look at, but let's make sure we understand that I and we are not really ever the point of the story. It's Jesus, right? And here on Palm Sunday, we know that all these wonderful things that are going on here. This is Jesus' regal entrance into Jerusalem, finally, right? He's been telling people off and on, saying, "Shh, I tell you what, delighted that I could heal you, but please don't tell anybody." And what was their first act of obedience? It was to disobey often, right? All of us old people remember the Don Francisco story, right? A song, "I've Got to Tell Somebody." Yeah. Jesus is not keeping it private anymore. He is orchestrating a parade. It's nothing less than him orchestrating a parade. And you know, I grew up really close to kind of a main street area. And I remember multiple times on Saturday, I'd wake up and I hear lots of sirens. I go, "Oh, that's not emergency vehicles. There's going to be a parade." And that for this kid meant free candy And so, you know, I'd get up and dress enough that wouldn't embarrass the family too bad and get on my bike and head down there and collect candy because a parade was coming through. Parades are public, loud, declaratory, celebratory kind of things. So Jesus is shifting gears from shh to guys, I need you to help me set up a parade so I can come into the city and start getting things rolling here. It's nothing less than his parade he's setting up. It's about the celebration, this expectation. After all the time of keeping the messianic secret, don't tell anyone, he's parading his identity. Here I am. It's what Palm Sunday is about. It's not just some cute little religious thing that went on and in the corner. No, no. It's time to, dare I say, come out in the best way possible. And this palm branch parade has a lot of parable, of powerful points. Jesus is saying, he says, I've got messianic majesty. I am king. I am the Messiah that God has sent. You've been asking the question over and over again. Let's just make this very clear. I am the majestic Messiah sent from God. I am the anointed one. I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's no ambiguity what's going on here. If there was, you know, again, one of the earlier times he's going to Passover and his brothers say, go down publicly because people can know who you are. He says, I'm not going to go down at this time. He said, I'm not going to join the public procession of pilgrims heading to Jerusalem. He went down later, but he didn't do it in a public way. Well, he's making up for that now. I am your king. I have come. And that's why this interesting thing about laying your cloaks on the horse or the whatever animal would be there, so the king, because you do that to honor the king, to buffer him from this beast. And then you may create this carpet down for them. Now, I don't know about you, but there's a level of risk of laying your clothes in front of where a horse or a donkey is going to walk. Okay, this ain't Rochester. I don't have to explain that to you folks, do I? All right? My Rochester, New York people, maybe, I wouldn't even do this up there. And then they get into the palm branches. And it was neat to see, there was a kid out there, he was given the assignment to harvest palm branches. That plant may never survive. He did a good job. He did a very fine job. Was it this guy? Who was it down there? That was cool to see. Who else in church? That was fun. How these kids lined up. We got a hint of that, right? As Jesus paraded his majesty today with us in worship and kids waving those palm branches. That was a cultural thing that they would do. Bring him on the horse. Put your cloaks out. Build, as it were, a carpet. Line the street. Worship and celebrate him. Make large. Make big. Jesus is announcing, too, his praiseworthiness. Right? Remember the time they said, hey, you better tell your people to quit crying out and acting like you're some big deal and praising you. He says, let me just tell you the truth. If they don't praise me, the rocks are going to cry out. I am worthy of praise. People say, the Bible never clearly says Jesus is God. It's almost embarrassing how much it proclaims Jesus is God. It'd almost be embarrassing to have to say that. It's like, what kind of redundancy do you need? He's proclaiming his messianic majesty, his praiseworthiness. Over and over again. In fact, in John's gospel at one point, he says, in case you missed it, I was alive before Abraham. Abraham was delighted to see my day. In fact, before Abraham was, I am. The Jewish hearers were not confused a bit. Their response was, that's the level of blasphemy that causes us to kill you. Could you stay here while we get rocks and do that right now? And he went away from them. He says, my hour had not come yet. He over and over again proclaimed he was the Son of the living God. But he also proclaimed here his humility on a donkey. He'd come on a horse later, but Jesus was still in this very act, just a very physical, the fact that God, the Word made flesh, God among us, there's a humility at any time that Jesus would be in the flesh among us. Who on earth was ever deserving of his presence? We see stories and go, wow, she was, you know, this woman that was living this kind of life, or this guy who was doing this, oh, he's a sinner. How dare they approach the presence of Jesus? How dare any of us think we're worthy of the presence of Jesus? It was all of his activity down here was a grand act of humility. He emptied himself, became as like a servant to the point of death even. And further here, displaying that humility. And he's displaying also that salvation has come. Hosanna, God save. Here I am. I'm here. I'm the Savior sent from God. So we see this regal entrance into Jerusalem. But before that can happen, logistics. Before a big conference like yesterday, there was a lot of logistics that had to happen. My wife and I just walked around and marveled at the level of decoration throughout the whole building. I mean, this is beyond professional level. There's a checkerboard floor with a cute red table and a couple of chairs and a whole shelf there with decorations and on and on and on and on it went. Just amazing. Well, to have a parade takes preparation, and Jesus has told his guys, hey, go in there. You're going to find a donkey with a colt. Bring him here. Now, in hindsight, what an honor it would be to ask. We were the ones who got to go and get the donkey. But let's forget hindsight for a second and realize these are guys who are regularly arguing about who's the greatest. Hey, guys, I had an assignment for you. Oh, yeah? Go get the donkey. Oh, you're kidding me. I mean, I don't think they were jumping up and down. Thank you, Donut Man, for the four of us who recognize the song from. There's a lesson here for us to be faithful in our supporting role. Since we're not the point of the story, but we are supporting cast to Jesus. To be faithful in our supporting role, we need to be willing to do the odd and sometimes the awkward. I'm going to use a New Jersey paraphrase honoring your pastor. Hey, go heist some donkeys. Now, they weren't told to go steal the donkeys, but could you imagine if he picked a couple of the shy disciples and they're going, oh, great, we get to go to this house, kind of walk off with this guy's beast of burdens, and hopefully he won't, you know, come and pummel us before he asks us questions. I mean, I think there might have really honestly been a little bit of awkwardness being sent to not only go gather these humble beasts and bring them back, but just the very fact of doing that, right? Yeah, park my cart, the parking lot over there, here are the keys, go get it. If the store manager comes out before he shoots you, tell him, say, it's okay, Jesus sent me. Give me a sense a little bit, maybe. Do you understand that sometimes Jesus will ask you to go do the uncomfortable and the awkward? If you dare to speak up for the name of Jesus or live his values today, you know this is increasingly true, isn't it? Right? But if we're going to help present Jesus, if we're going to help bring the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we need to be willing to do anything. See, there's a good verse that says, oh, and the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. Do the odd, the awkward. It probably felt awkward. Do the seeming menial. Go get them. Bring them to me. Now, bring them to me. That's a nice phrase, right? Bring people to Jesus. Well, no, go get the donkeys, guys. If something is beneath you in serving Jesus, you need to even get lower. You may be called to serve in, quote, the boardroom of the church as a leader, but any leader needs to be willing also to go serve in the bathroom. If it's beneath you to do the clean, least kind of cleaning, not just here at the building, but in ministering to other people, this is menial work. I was telling someone about a friend of ours who's got a job that's kind of beneath their ability. And he said, well, really, there's no work really beneath any of us. And I said, yes, I understand that. Whatever you're called to do, do it for the glory of God, right? Do it for the glory of God. Go get them. Bring them to me. What do you not even consider ways in which you would serve Jesus? Now, if God has called you to serve in ways of different kinds of leadership, it's okay to say no to things. If you've been called to serve in a certain way and this would distract. But we say no not based on whether it's going to bring me honor or not. We say no based on whether God's called me to do that or not. Jesus called these guys to go heist a couple of donkeys, borrow a couple of donkeys. That's the same word in New Jersey, right? The Latin word in New Jersey for borrow is steal. I told you I was going to honor your pastor. And it might start at some point. We'll see. Go where he sends you. They went, they untied, they brought him, and they prepared for his parade. They did his will, his way. How, when, where, and what? Sometimes it's easy to change the direction. If you got kids, you know, you've told them to go do something. Now, sometimes it's fun to, you know, if you didn't tell them how to do it and they do it a creative way, as long as they did what you told them to do, that's all, that's really what matters, right? But there are times that needs to be done a certain way, right? Don't just go get donkeys and take them somewhere. You know, go get them, answer back, bring them here, and it'll be go time. Go where he sends you. So they did what they were told to do. Because you know what? Because that's what disciples do. Disciples go and do what Jesus directs or commands them to do. And when we go and do just as Jesus instructs us, we help prepare for his presence. Now, Jesus could have pulled it off some other way. We had a great Sunday school lesson this morning on Jonah and how God still used that guy. You know, Mr. the pouting prophet, I think I heard someone refer to Jonah one time. I'll go. No, I won't go. I'll go, but I hate it. Hey, guys, repent. Please don't repent. I hope God kills you. You know. But God pulled off his will for Nineveh because he's gracious. Right? But we get a chance to help prepare for Jesus coming. In fact, it was alluded to in Sunday school this morning, too, about our part in preparing for the return of the Lord. A couple of young ladies here this morning who were training for Ethnos 360. And yeah, and if we're seeking, what is God's will for them? So whatever God is laying on these young ladies' hearts, just like their parents have modeled, their sisters back in Mexico, say, oh, that's really cool and neat. It is cool and neat. But if God's called you to be here, you also help prepare for the big grand coming of the Lord. But the Monday morning when you go to work to bring in Jesus with you with deliberateness. Prepare for his presence. And we get to proclaim him as Lord. We get to proclaim him as Lord. Someone asks why you live the way you do. At the end of the day, you can say, because what Jesus has done in my life, and he's my Lord. Am I a perfect servant? No. If they know you, they know that. So let's quit pretending, right? You know, hey, you see something good here, give glory to God. You see something that doesn't honor God, that's me, baby. That's me. But we get to proclaim him as Lord. The disciples, when they did this, they prepared for his presence. They helped their part in proclaiming him as Lord. They get to help fulfill prophecy. Isn't that neat? Wouldn't it be fun to so, you know, like the lady that was so generous and serving Jesus, and Jesus said, you know, they don't pester her. This sacrifice of hers, this is going to be told about her till I come back. And we're still talking about these things. When you share the love of Jesus in word and deed, it needs to be both. You're an answer to prayers. People pray for people to come to know the Lord in this community. And as you get to be a part of that, or displaying, demonstrating, declaring who Jesus is, he said his word would go to the ends of the earth. You get to be a part of that, no matter how menial it is. And when we go and do just like Jesus instructs, we're simply doing what should be assumed of us. There's a story in Luke. It's about when a servant does what they're told to do, do you celebrate or do you say, well, of course, they're doing their job? Not that we don't encourage and affirm people. Obviously, that's not the point of what Jesus is saying. But when we go and do what Jesus has told us to do, it's like, well, yeah. No servant above his master. No student is above his teacher, right? So if there was what was too menial for Jesus to do? Let's see. He left the praise of heaven to come to earth, to live amongst the likes of us, to bear the reproaches and the betrayal of his closest, to die a disgraceful grace like a death on a cross for the likes of us amongst sinners, looking as much like a condemned criminal as anyone could ever look willingly. He did it for the joy set before him, endured the cross. He despised its shame. And buried in a borrowed tomb, left thought for dead. Washed his disciples' feet knowing they'd betray him. Showed kindness even to Judas. If there is no limit to how low Jesus would go and has gone to serve us, there should be no limit to our serving him. Do what you're assumed of it. And when you do, like disciples do, going and doing what Jesus commands you to do, you're in good company. The story of Noah is not a cute story about pairs of animals and boats. It's about the impending wrath of God on a sinful world. He looked at what he made, and everything about them in every way was wicked. Noah, I'm going to spare some folks like you. I want you to build an ark, and I want you to a physical thing that will proclaim the judgments that's coming and also proclaim an opportunity for salvation. And what a lunatic he must have looked like. A boat? For what? For when? For why? And for years, dedicated to this project that proclaimed judgment and salvation. So you may feel a little bit like Noah, but that's okay. God can save you and use you in the midst of that. Abram, hey, you're going to have a lot of kids. Oh, that's something. What? I'm an old man. It's okay, you and Sarah, and Sarah thought, well, that's funny. And God made them to have as many descendants as the stars in the sky and sand on the sea. Believing God, Moses, others. When you're trusting and obeying Jesus, you're in good company, even if it's weird seeming, awkward seeming, isolating, lonely. But you just keep reminding yourselves, I serve the King. And I'm going to go do whatever he tells me to do. And my part of helping prepare a parade for his return so that more and more people of all the nations can shout out, Hosanna to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. The disciples went and did exactly what Jesus told them to do. The disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. At the very bottom of your notes there, I believe it says, Lord, let it be said of your disciples that we did as Jesus commanded. Can that be our prayer today? Let's pray. And you will reign forever and ever. And you are reigning. And we thank you. You're Lord of the church. You're Lord of the universe. May we consider it an honor to proclaim your lordship in how we live. So, Lord, speak. Your servants are listening. And having heard, may we go and do exactly what you have called us to do to your glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and God's people said, Amen.